Hello, this is Steve Braswell, and welcome to my podcast. I'm glad that you're joining me today. We are looking at the seven secrets of contentment. And today we come to number three, put your trust in the right place. That's the secret to contentment. Our scripture today is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. We're speaking of putting your trust in the right place today. Do you have someone in your life whom you trust? You know, we speak of some people as having trust issues. Some people deal with that. I remember getting a phone call at the church that I served from a business with whom we had an account. They wanted to confirm information on our account. They gave me some information and I confirmed it for them. But then they asked for my personal social security number. I didn't give it to them. Why? I didn't trust them. I believe these verses in Proverbs are among our favorites because they're actually very simple to understand. We're focused today, especially on verses 5 and 6. I remember, and this was many years ago now, but I remember learning Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in vacation Bible school, which when I remember things like that, I don't remember everything. Obviously, I learned as a child, but I do remember some things very vividly. And that reminds me that we need to continue to teach our children, our own children or the children in our church, some of those things that sow those seeds in their young lives that will bring forth fruit in many years to come. But I remember in vacation Bible school learning Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I think answering five simple questions from these verses will teach us about contentment by teaching us to put our trust in the right place. Okay? Very simple. Five simple questions. Number one, what should I do? And the answer from verse 5 is trust in the Lord. Trust means to lean with the full body, rest your full weight on. There were times with the children at church, I would play the trust game. I would have them place their feet together and stand tall, and then I would stand behind them and tell them to just fall back, don't move their feet, leave their feet in place, and trust me to catch them. You know, I might play with kids sometimes and mess around with them, but this was something they could really trust me. I would not let them fall. I would not want them to get hurt. And so they would fall back and I would catch them. Sometimes they would start falling, and that last second they'd move their feet to kind of gain ground so that they could still stand because they didn't know for sure if I would catch them. But if they trusted me, obviously I would. Now, I can believe you that you will return something that you borrow from me, but that's not the same as putting the full weight of my body and all that I am in your hands. Think of, say, if you give me a hammer that I say I'm going to return to you, or if you give me a blank check that you have signed. It's not completely blank. It has your signature. The difference between those, the difference in the amount of trust that it would take for you to give me those two. Well, what we need with God is our full trust. Trust in the Lord. Lean with your full body. Rest your full weight on the Lord. Yeah, I think it's ironic that our money in our country, all the money says, in God we trust. But most of us trust in money more than in God, even though our money says that. Think about some verses in Psalms that talk about this. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Of course, chariots and horses would translate today into military technology. And I will trust in all the strength of our military to protect me. Well, that's great if you have a good military, but even that, our ultimate trust needs to be in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 25, 1 through 3, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. And then Psalm 56, 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Very simple thing. A child could learn that verse, when I am afraid. Maybe you could put it to song even. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So simple and yet so profound. What should I do? Trust in the Lord. Rest my full weight in the hands of the Lord. Second simple question, how should I do it? The verse says, with all your heart. That means all of yourself, all that you have, all your time, all your money, all your priorities, all your gifts. Remember what Jesus said about what the greatest command in all of Scripture is? Love the Lord your God. But how? With all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You know, I like to hedge my bets, put a little here and a little there, but God asked me to give him my whole being, not save back a part for somewhere else or somebody else, but give him everything. How should I do it? With all my heart. The third simple question, what should I not do? And the verse says, lean not on your own understanding. You know, with every command, there's a positive and a negative. Positive, trust in the Lord. The negative, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own insights. Now, that's counterintuitive for most of us. I mean, who knows best how to run my life? I do, right? That's the way we feel, the way we think. That's why I don't like other people telling me how to run my life. When I'm a student, I don't like a teacher telling me what to do. When I'm a child, I don't like a parent making rules for me. When I'm an employee, I don't like a boss breathing down my neck. And when I'm a human being, I don't like being accountable to God. But this verse reminds me that I am not as smart as I think I am. My understanding is not deep enough and broad enough to include all that I need to know to make wise choices in life. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's not strong enough. You know, it's foolish to trust in yourself and your own resources. I love Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let those who boast about this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Think about that. Wisdom, strength, riches. Those are the things that we tend to boast about. Where the most important thing in life is not those things. It's just knowing God. Knowing God for who God is. Leaning is something that you do when you're not strong enough to stand on your own. You know, I might, if I have to stand for very long, lean against a wall or something like that. But friends, your own understanding is just not strong to take the full weight of your life. Don't lean on your own understanding. Fourth question, what is the key to doing it? And the verse says, in all your ways, submit to him. Does God want me to use my own understanding? Well, yes, absolutely. Get the best education, have the best mentors, get the best ideas you can about what you should do. Do all of that and then submit all of that to him. God, this is the best I know right now. This is what I feel like I need to be doing next in my life. But I know that you know better than I do, and I trust you. So I take all of my plans and ambitions and place them in a pile before you and ask you to make of them what you will. Think about the story in Jeremiah 18. God used the potter to teach Jeremiah a lesson. Beginning in verse 1, we read, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, house of Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel." There again, I want to shape my life. I want to shape myself in the form I think best. But then I realize, no, my understanding is not strong enough. I need to, in all my ways, submit to God. Let Him be the potter. But I like to be the potter, not the clay. But I can trust God to be the very best potter possible. Adelaide Pollard was struggling with her desires to go to Africa to be a missionary, and she read these words from Jeremiah 18 that I just read to you, and then she wrote this that ended up being a well-known hymn. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." Friends, that is one of the big keys to contentment, is giving up, being the potter, and becoming the clay, and then saying to the Lord, "In all my ways, I'm going to submit to you. You know better after all. Left to my own devices, I'm just going to make a mess of my life. But you know what is best, Lord." The fifth simple question is, what is the promise for doing it? I love that God tells us what to do, gives us reasons for it so that we can use our minds to understand His will, and then gives us a promise. What's the promise for doing it? He will make your paths straight. Now, in the King James Version, which I originally learned this verse, the phrase is, "He will direct your paths." But actually, a better translation is, "He will make your paths straight," meaning a road that is straight, level, and flat. In ancient times, someone would go ahead of a king and make a level path on which he could travel to enter the city. Today, we have, if you've ever been around, say a president is visiting your area and they're police cars on every overpass. They're preparing the way for the president's arrival. It's like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." He will go ahead and make your path straight and level and flat. There is so much easier to navigate a path that is straight and level and flat. Now, how do you know if you can trust someone? It's based on past experiences or what you've heard about them. But it does require a decision to trust. So why do I trust in the Lord? Let me just quickly give you seven reasons I trust in the Lord. First, God's Word. The amazing centuries-long and centuries-old record of God's great power in the Bible. Second, God's chosen people, the stories of God's care for the Israelites, especially the Exodus and all of God's care for Israel since then in the Bible. Third, God's promises, specific promises given to increase our faith. Here's one of my favorites, Hebrews 13:5. "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." God's promises are true. We can depend on them, so we can trust in God's promises. Fourth, God's Son. God's ultimate revelation of God's love is in Jesus Christ, who came for us. 5, God's church, the history of Christians down through the ages who have trusted God and found him to be true to all his promises. 6, God's people today, all the people I have known in my life who are examples to me of Christian faith. And then 7, my life, the ways God has been present with me in my times of greatest trials. So add all that up, God's word, God's chosen people, God's promises, God's son, God's church, God's people today, my own life. That's more than enough reason for me to trust in the Lord. And when I do that, then I learn what contentment is really all about. Long time ago, the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London in the early 1900s was G. Campbell Morgan. He told the story of when he first left home as a young man. His father didn't say a word, but just pressed a small slip of paper into his hand. After he left home, he took out that paper and he looked to see what was written on that paper, wondering, what would my dad write out for me and consider to be the most important words to give me as I leave home and start my life? These are the words that were written on that slip of paper. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. What more needs to be said than that? It all comes down to one simple word, trust. Are you willing to trust your life to the Lord? Life is a mysterious journey. It has lots of twists and turns. Often the road has potholes, or maybe the bridge ahead is washed out. Whatever it is, God knows all about it. Just trust him, and he will make your path straight. He has promised. He will do it. Count on it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when you do that, you'll find one of the greatest secrets to contentment. Friends, thanks for listening today. We'll continue next week with the 4th secret of contentment, find hope for your future. I look forward to talking to you about that next week.